Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Drew Copeland from the band Sister Hazel, and you are listening to my weekly mixtape with Brian Colburn. Hey, it's going to be Hazelfied. Check it out.
Welcome to My Weekly Mixtape, a podcast that takes the classic mixtape approach to building a modern playlist. I'm your host, Brian Colburn. Joining me as guest curator is Drew Copeland, guitarist for Sister Hazel. Drew, thank you so much for joining me on the show, man.
Hey, Brian. Good to see you, man. Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, I'd like to start by asking you the same question I ask all of my first-time guests, and that is, what does the word mixtape mean to you?
You know, so mixtapes for me were not necessarily something that I made to give to someone else. Most of the time when I made a mixtape, it was for myself. Whether it was going to be something that I was going to be working out to, or a playlist to drive to the beach, or if we were going to have a party, it was something I thought that everybody would want to listen to at a party. So my idea of a mixtape is normally gearing towards an event that I'm going to be doing that I want to hear specific tunes. So that's mixtape for me.
Well, we are going to be gearing up for an event tonight because you and I are going to co-curate the Ultimate Sister Hazel playlist. Coming from a member of the band and a fan of the band, as in myself, I would love to know, from the band's perspective, what angle are you coming at this mixtape with? Because you have memories of every single song this band has ever recorded deeper than any fan could ever have.
Right. Well, and honestly, there are some songs that I have forgotten that we have. And in fact, a recent story, I was in a department store over the weekend and I heard a song over the speakers and I knew I recognized Ken's voice, but I could not tell what song it was. And it was in the bridge of the song. So that makes it even harder to pick out what the song was. But it ended up being a song of ours called Vacation Rain that I totally forgot about. And when it kicked into the chorus, I was like, oh, that is us. And that is Vacation Rain. You know, we've been a band for 30 years, man. 30 years later. There are songs that we've recorded and put out on records that I just don't even remember unless I hear them. So, yeah. Wow.
So what are you looking to bring to the mix this evening?
Well, you know, it like I said before, it would depend on what we were gearing the mixtape for. But I will just try to just gear it from a band perspective and touch on the important things and the emotional things and the things that have a good story behind them and maybe songs that have a little bit of maybe they're a deeper cut, but they meant something more to the band.
Well, let's get down to business. Tonight, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Drew and I will be curating the Ultimate Sister Hazel mixtape, and we're going to use the old cassette deck approach. Drew, as my special guest, will begin side A with his first song choice, and then I'll add a song that I feel best follows up that choice. We'll then flip-flop choosing songs until we've mapped out 10 songs for side A. We'll then give our mixtape a proverbial flip, and we'll map out side B, only this time I'll kick things off with Drew choosing second. Our overall goal for the episode is to craft the best Sister Hazel mixtape possible through only 20 songs. And at the end of the show, you could take our conversation to the next level by visiting the episode page at myweeklymixtape.com, where you can give our final mixtape a listen via the embedded playlist. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Now, Drew, I'm officially going to press the record button on our mixtape, and the floor is yours. What song are you going to kick off the ultimate Sister Hazel mixtape with?
Well, look, man, I don't want to be like obvious, but at the same time, there's a song that if you're going to have a Sister Hazel playlist, it has to be on it. And it's a song that opened so many doors for us that I know it's going to be there. And I don't know if the order that we're recording these on the mixtape, whether that matters or not, but you got to have All For You. All For You has to be in the mix. I mean, that song, Ken wrote that song way before the band was formed and before we had our first, song on radio. Ken was, he had written that song a long time ago. So the song was, when he and I were a duo, we played it out acoustically before the band got involved. And then years later, that thing just started kicking doors down and the rest is kind of history. So any mixtape of Sister Hazel has to include All For You.
So I'm going to follow up with the first. Hey, this will at least prove I'm a hazelnut.
I like it.
With the question, are you going with the version from 1994's White Album, or are you going to go with the full band Somewhere More Familiar 97 single?
I would go with the 97 single. I would go with the full band version. That's the one. Honestly, man, there were some really cool live versions that we did later on that if I could get my hands on those, I would include that. But yeah, the 97 version is the one I would go with.
All right. Well, following that up, I think we're going to start this off being a little bit of a hit fest to kind of whet people's appetite a little bit.
All right.
And for me, I saw you guys perform last year in New Jersey at the Skyland Performing Arts Center, otherwise known as the Newton Theater in Newton, New Jersey. And this was the song you ran with second in the band set. And the more I thought about it, when you kicked into the song, I said, this is literally the perfect slot for this track. And while it works so perfectly in the band's live set, I think it's going to work perfectly here. Because All For You ends, and then you kind of build up this little guitar intro and kick into the lead track off of 2000's Fortress. And I'm going to go with Change Your Mind, one of my favorite songs from Sister Hazel. And also with that, I'm happy to say I'm not alone, because Patreon mixtaper Cactus Pete also chimed in with Change Your Mind, citing the blending harmonies. Although he said there's plenty of great stuff to choose from the band, and I couldn't agree more. But back to Change Your Mind, the song was also featured in the 2000 movie, wait for it, Bedazzled, with Brandon Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley. This song simply means so, so much to me. One of my favorite things about Sister Hazel is the vocal harmonies, and they truly come to life in this song, making it one of the highlights on an otherwise amazing album. This is the song that All For You made me a fan of Sister Hazel. Change Your Mind made me a fan of the band for life, because this is the kind of song that spoke to me from a musical and lyrical perspective. And I just don't think you can have a Sister Hazel playlist without it.
I fully agree. And that song ends up in that slot quite often in the live show. It's just something that kind of sets people's minds in the right direction for the Sister Hazel set. Okay. That's a great pick. I'm going to follow that up with a relatively newer song, but it has become kind of a staple for us at live shows because our fan base just gravitated towards this song. It's another upbeat song, and it's a little bit different for us. It's funny because through our career, a lot of people have tried to not necessarily pigeonhole us, but they want to put us in a category, and we don't necessarily fit in a single category. We've been all over the map, but this song itself was on a record that that we put out, and I think it charted on the country albums, but this is a song called That Kind of Beautiful. That's a song that people have gravitated towards, and you see people singing that song with us, and it's also become one of those songs that if we don't do it in our live show, that they're kind of disappointed. So I would go with That Kind of Beautiful.
Now, Lighter in the Dark was kind of a foray that you guys had been touching on in the past. I know you said it was like a little bit of a foray into country music, but I hear elements of country on Heartland Highway. I hear elements of country on Somewhere More Familiar.
Absolutely. And the White Album.
Yeah, when people were, I don't want to use the word shocked, but when people said, wow, Sister Hazel's putting out an album that sounds more country, I kind of wanted to reply with, have you been listening to Sister Hazel all these years? Because I feel right. like there's always been that element in the band. Is that the case?
No, that's totally the case. I agree. In fact, when people were questioning, and not in a bad way, but when they were just questioning, are you going this direction? I was like, you know, if you go back and listen to Somewhere More Familiar and the White Album and albums like Release and Heartland Highway, and there's always been a touch of that. Yes. Was there a little more instrumentation that could have been considered leaning more country? Maybe. A lot of the writing that I had been doing during that time period was in Nashville. Our management company is in Nashville. We've been recording the records in Nashville. So certainly there could be some influence there. But honestly, we did not deviate a whole lot from what the band sounds like, you know, all the time.
Well, following that up, I'm going to stay with a little bit of that quote unquote country-esque sound, but I'm going to pivot it in a little bit of a direction. I'm going to go off of 2010's Heartland Highway. We had just mentioned it earlier.
All right.
And this is a song that you wrote with Stan Lynch.
Okay.
Drummer for my favorite artist of all time, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, for over 18 years.
Yeah, man.
You two have written a bunch of Sister Hazel songs together, including In the Moment from Lift, Hopeless from Chasing Daylight, Beautiful High and This Kind of Love from Absolutely, I Believe in You and One Life from Elise, Where You're Going, which was also from Heartland Highway. But
yeah,
I feel like coming out of That Kind of Beautiful, the song that immediately I'm gravitating to is Let the Fire Burn.
Man, that is so funny that you're saying that, because I just listened to that song recently. And one of the reasons why I listened to it is because Ken, for some reason, was singing it at a sound check. And I was like, man, I forgot about that song. I want to go listen to it. And I really love that song. So yeah, that's an interesting pick, man. We played it live briefly, but it's another blessing and a curse of being a band for as long as we have. You have so many songs that fans want to hear at a show that, you know, you can't play for, well, I guess you could play for 4 hours, but you know, I'm not really sure how many people sit through a 4 hour concert, but yeah, you have to make choices. So that's a great pick, man. Let the Fire Burn. I really dig that tune.
And I'd love to ask, because again, being such a Tom Petty fan for so long, anybody who has some connection to that universe is something I'm always enthralled with. Can you talk about that working relationship with Stan Lynch and how it's kind of blossomed into this ongoing co-writing situation?
Well, Stan reached out to us way early, like back when we were just getting a record deal, and I kept his number, and he and I stayed in touch, and literally we're like brothers. I mean, we are very close. He still has a place just outside of Gainesville and one over at Crescent Beach, and him and his significant other come over for dinner occasionally. And Stan is, just being straight up honest, Stan is one of the reasons why I managed to stay in the music business for 33 years, because he had been through a ton of stuff with the Heartbreakers. And then he went on to be a writer, a very successful writer and producer, produced a bunch of Don Henley stuff and worked with Eagles on a lot of stuff. So the guy, he had been around the block. And anytime that I had a problem, he was there with some common sense about the whole thing, because it can get kind of crazy. And Stan is, I would definitely give him a lot of credit for being one of the reasons why I've managed to stay in the business for as long as I have. But working with him, that band was full of talent. I mean, Tom obviously was exceptional in so many different ways. Stan is also exceptional. He's a super smart guy his drumming, he's one of the few drummers. I mean, there are drummers out there, but he's one of the few drummers that when he's playing, you can tell it's Stan Lynch. You can hear him on any, I don't care whose song he's playing. You can go, dude, that sounds like Stan Lynch, because he has his own thing, which is rare and awesome. But he's just a soulful dude, super kind, and it's been a complete honor to get to work with him. And look, man, I'm from a band out of Gainesville. Hearing him tell stories from the old days is a blast. I love it. I love hearing the stories. It's fun. We don't do that a whole lot, but occasionally things will come up. Maybe it's to give me an example of some of the things that he went through. But yeah, I love that relationship with Stan.
Amazing. Well, I'm throwing it back to you now to follow up That Kind of Beautiful and Let the Fire Burn for track 5. What do you got?
Okay. I would go, and I don't want the title to mess me up, but those are some upbeat songs. I would probably slow things down a little bit. And this is a song that I wrote, man, it was years ago that I wrote this song, but when we put it out and people heard it, I did an acoustic version online one time of just me and a guitar playing this song. And it seemed to connect with people quite a bit, but I would slow it down and I'd put a song called Fire after that. And I know that it's Let the Fire Burn, and putting Fire right after it is going to mess up our song title list, but it's still, I think I would put that, slow it down a little bit and put that song in there. And that song live for us now is a lot of fun when we do it. We don't do it very often, but when we do, it's a lot of fun because it takes us to this place where Ryan takes off on the guitar and it just ends with this super powerful guitar solo. So we have a lot of fun playing that live, and it's connected with a lot of people.
And that came from the, I'm going to call the album now Elements, but it was from the Fire EP that became part of the Elements single album release. That yes. 4 EP into one album approach was definitely treading new ground for the band. Looking back, would you consider that release schedule to have been successful for the group? And is that something that may shape how the band decides to release new music moving forward?
Yes. And yes to pretty much all of that. I do find it that it was successful. It was very creative. Jet Barris, our bass player, he is a behind the scenes. He's kind of a creative genius. He comes up with some great ideas, and this was one of his babies. And we all collaborated on how it turned out, but putting those series of EPs out was a lot of fun. And it gave us a place to take these songs and kind of just find the right fit for just a few songs and see how that felt and then put them all together. It was just a really cool thing. And I loved the artwork from those records and how it combined at the end. It was really cool, the whole thing. Not that anybody cares about artwork as much anymore because you download everything now, but the artwork from that album was really cool.
I was going to say, not all of us are downloading. I still got the CDs. Well, you took things down with Fire. So now I want to pick it up a little bit. And I'm also kind of looking at the list thinking, okay, we've touched on Somewhere More Familiar, Fortress, Lighter in the Dark, Heartland Highway, Fire and Elements. I want to keep kind of picking from some different albums here to kind of give a nice varied approach. So I'm going to go back to Lift from 2004. Right. And I'm going to use a song that I think picks it up from Fire, and it shows the band flexing some, dare I use the word, alternative rock muscles. But this song has a massive chorus, and the guitar work that you and Ryan do combined on this track shines because the track is big and bold, but the harmonies never get overshadowed by the louder guitar. And I don't know if that's a testament to you guys as musicians, you guys as singers, the studio work that went into recording it, or the fact that the song is just extremely well-written. It was written by Ken Block along with Richard Marx. They paired together on songs World Inside My Head, which was also from Lift, Meet Me in the Memory from Absolutely, and Life Got in the Way from Chasing Daylight, among others. But I'm going to go with, I'm a sucker for album opening tracks. I'm going to go with Surrender, the opening track from Lift. Over the years, the band has started to work with outside writers. In the beginning, it was Sister Hazel kind of writing as a collective. And over the years, outside writers have kind of come into the fold. I'm curious how Sister Hazel decides on what songs should be written internally versus, hey, let's bring somebody from the outside in for this one and kind of how it comes together. And then along with all that, just your thoughts on Surrender, because it is kind of a deeper cut. It was not played very often, but I absolutely adore the track.
Yes, we did play it live occasionally, but it was another one of those songs that kept getting pushed kind of to the bottom of the set list where it just would fall off. So, but that's another one. And I've heard that one in stores before too and gone, wait a minute. I love that. That's our song. What song is that again? But as far as songwriters go, later in our career, we began collaborating with more and more people. And part of that was because of the band's success. More doors were open for us to be able to write with writers, which was a lot of fun. I don't think there's ever been a specific target as far as, hey, for this one, let's bring in this writer. I think what happens is all of us kind of branch out. Sometimes we write with each other. Sometimes we write with outside writers. And we just serve the song. So if, you know, Ryan or Ken or if anybody came in with a song from an outside writer, if most of us were attracted to the song, then we would just try to serve the song. It didn't really matter who co-wrote it. You know what I mean? And we're thankful for co-writers because it makes us spread our wings a little bit, you know, stretch our writing a little bit to try to be more creative. So that's always been a good thing for us.
All right. We're throwing it back to you to follow up Surrender.
Okay. That's a tough one. I'm going to go off of an album that I recently saw a post on Facebook from a fan that kind of broke down what albums we play songs off of most of the nights at live shows. And sadly, we don't do a lot of songs off of this record, but I like the record a lot. In fact, as I'm looking through it, I'm like, man, I could pick 8 of the songs off this record. But I'm going to go with the title track off of our album release, and I'm going to say the song Release.
Nice.
I like that song, and it's one that we used to do live. We don't do it as much anymore, but I feel like it kind of fits in. That's a good place to go after Surrender. So I'd go with Release.
Hey, I'm a sucker for album opening tracks. Now, Pat McGee and Emerson Hart co-wrote that with Ryan.
Yes.
And I will just say that, spoiler alert, there might be another song from Release getting talked about later this evening.
All right, good.
I love this album. To me, this is a ridiculously underrated Sister Hazel album all the way through.
I agree. And I think all of us after seeing that post want to take a look back and see, well, like I said, Vacation, I mentioned Vacation Rain earlier, that's on this record too. And see what songs could fit back in the live show. Maybe it's time to give a few other songs a rest for a while and pick up some of these songs.
Well, here's one that I'm going to follow it up with, and it is a cover song. I'm a sucker for cover songs. I love cover songs. All right. And I love when the band brings something new to the cover song and makes it their own. And to me, the song I chose is one of the 90s defining cover songs, one of my favorites of the whole decade, because it lands on pretty much every single mark I can think of. In the 90s, they did a lot of compilation tribute albums. They were huge across the board. And one of my favorites was Legacy, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac's Rumors that came out in 1998. And I am running with Sister Hazel's contribution to that album, the closing track, your cover of Gold Dust Woman. Look, the band does amazing covers across the board. I mean, I'm just thinking about Lift. We could talk about The Cars, Just What I Needed. That The Cars self-titled is my favorite album of all time. I could have easily chose that cover because I love that tune. However, the band's version, totally gender flipping the song, having the vocals come from a male perspective, which is normally a Stevie Nicks sang song, to me was a gamble that paid off so well. And the fact is, Rumors is one of those albums that is considered by a lot of people to be a quote unquote perfect album. There must have been a huge challenge stepping into this song and trying to bring something to the original that would leave something to be desired. And not only did you do that, the harmonies on it make the hair on my arm stand up. I just think it's an iconic cover, and I feel like it belongs in this list. I know it's not an original, but you guys truly made Gold Dust Woman your own on that album.
Thanks, man. We're very proud of how that turned out. And we actually did play that song live for a while as well, too. It was a real honor to be a part of that. And we all got handwritten letters from Mick Fleetwood, and that was really cool. I've got mine framed and hanging up in my room there. That was an honor to be a part of that. And Ken did such a great job singing that song too. He really delivered the song. So that's a good one, man. That's a good one. I thought you might go with the car song, and I will tell you the story behind the car song is this. We really felt like, hey man, this is the time for us to do a cover. Maybe it'll be one of those that piques people's interest and all that kind of stuff. And we were so proud. We all agreed on that song, which I will tell you, anytime we all agree on something, we should not do it. That's just the way it is, because we very rarely all agree on something. And although I love the way that song turned out, it just totally missed the mark. Like, I don't think our label liked it. I'm not sure if anybody liked it, but we felt good about it when we got done doing it. So, but yeah, Gold Dust Woman, that's a good one.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I do enjoy the cover. I will say that.
I am too.
The Car self-titled album is my favorite album of all time. And I still give kudos for a job well done on your version. I mean,
you know, man, and I'll tell you, dude, I don't know that. Yes, there are bands that do this for me, but I'm not sure many do it as well as the Cars do. It takes me back to that time. It's almost like it. I don't know how to explain it, but it almost, you know, transfers me back to that time period. Like right then, like I'm back in that body in that time. When you hear the Cars songs kick on, it's so powerful. I love that. I love the old Car stuff. It's great. All right, where are we?
Track 9. Last one for side A.
Side A. All right. I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to save that for side B. All right, give me a minute. I'm looking. Wow. So we just had Gold Dust Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second to last song on the side. All right. Oh, I know what I would do. I would do I Believe in You. You know that one? That one's off of, I got to look and see. Maybe Heartland Highway?
That was off of Release.
It's off Release as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's the one I would do, is I Believe in You. That's another song I wrote with Stan. And I'll never forget going up to, me and Stan went up to Ryan's house to do the acoustic guitars for that record. And it was so important for those to be right. And if you listen through to it and talk about, you know, some of the petty influence, if you listen to the guitar, the acoustic guitar specifically on that song, you'll recognize some of the petty slash, I'm blanking on the name of the, when he went and did the stuff with Roy Orbison and
Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, the Traveling Wilburys. You'll hear like some of that influence in the acoustic guitars when we did that song. So I enjoyed writing that song with Stan, and I felt like that it was one of those songs. I think it's an underrated song as well. That's one of those songs we played a couple of times live, but it's hard to, like, you hear it and you're like, oh, that's really simple, but it's hard to, all that stuff has to lock exactly. And so there was a lot of, it was a labor of love, but when it got done, it was like, man, that's it. That's how I wanted that to sound. So that's what I'd go with is I Believe in You.
Well, I think the person that did the social post asking about some love for Release is going to feel happy, because closing out side A.
All right.
I am also going to go with that song I told you about a few songs ago from Release, because I feel like when you're closing out a side, this is the perfect side closer. Now, a few years ago, I interviewed Ryan Newell on my old podcast, Tune Styles. And when we were talking, I really made an effort to try to get the band to slide this back into the set list rotation. It hasn't happened yet. So I'm going to use this moment to throw it out a second time, because I truly think Take a Bow deserves a spot in the band's rotation. And to close out a side just lyrically, it's very fitting. And to me, this just fits under one of those songs that I would give anything to hear the band break back out again, because to me, it's, again, one of my favorites. I don't know if it's the minor chord progression or what's going on in there, but this was written with Ryan, Pat McGee, and Mike Daly. There's something about the groove of this song that really resonates with me.
Yeah. that song, there's a lot of personal meaning behind that too for Ryan. But I know that during that time period also, I don't know what it was about what we were doing right then, but Ken and I, on harmony wise, like what we were doing vocally together was locked. I mean, it was like locked in. And I remember it being honestly, and I'm not saying this to brag, but it was almost effortless during that time period. Like we got in and I knew where he was going. He knew where I wanted him to go vocally so that the harmonies would just hit just the right way. And that was one of those songs that really benefited from that.
Well, there you have it, mixtapers. Side A of our ultimate Sister Hazel mixtape, which consists of All For You from Somewhere More Familiar, Change Your Mind from Fortress, That Kind of Beautiful from Lighter in the Dark, Let the Fire Burn from Heartland Highway, Fire from the Fire EP as well as Elements LP, Surrender from Lift, Release from the album of the same name, Gold Dust Woman from Legacy, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, I Believe in You from Release, and Take a Bow from Release. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Now, Drew, before we flip this mixtape over to Side B, I want to talk about the band's latest single, Love You More. Now, you wrote this song along with Ryan Newell and Jack Sizemore, and when I read the press release for this song, some podcast host named Brian Colburn said, Sister Hazel is back with a breezy rock song that gives you warm summer vibes on a cold January morning. A funky riff leads to an infectious chorus that you find yourself instantly singing along with, a song that's sure to please Hazelnut fans both new and old. And in the many listens I've had since writing that statement, I still 100% feel the same way. I'd love to hear more about how this track came together during the writing process and who brought what elements to the song. Because like I said, it's kind of this breezy island thing, but there's this funky riff over it. And on paper, it sounds like they would conflict, but they come together so, so well.
Yeah, I will tell you that. So when we came out of the writing room, first of all, Jack is he's a longtime friend. Like I've known Jack. In fact, Jack and the guy that he used to sing with, Britton Cameron, they were Jack and Britton back in the day before we were Ken and Andrew. So wow. We started out as an acoustic duo. And honestly, we would go watch them and be like, wow, man, they are so good. You know, and then we would go do our thing or whatever. We used to go do four-part harmony stuff with those guys, Jack and Britton. And Jack is now a guitar player in Jason Aldean's band. And so we've known Jack forever, though. Great guy and an incredible songwriter himself. We sat in the room and we spent, you know, probably half the day just laughing and catching up on whatever. And then eventually we got around to writing a song. The song that came out of the writing room, although melodically, chord structures, lyrically is the same as what you're hearing, the feel was completely different. And we were all committed to recording the song in the studio the way that it was. We were like, yeah, man, I like it. It's got something to it. There's a good hook. The chorus is solid. Let's go do this song. But when we got in there, we kind of were working through it. And Barris goes, man, let's open our minds for a minute and throw all the rules out. And what would be the most interesting thing we could do with this to take it to the next level? Just not that it's not good where it is. Let's just try something different. And Ryan's initial thought was that thing at the mo, 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 mo. That was his first thing, was at the end of the chorus to tag that on it. So Ryan came up with that and we were like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. We, you know, we loved it. Now we're like, okay, well, it's got to take, you know, it's going to be a different groove. And to his credit, Ryan started doing that So he came up with all that stuff in the studio, and then Mark and Barris got on, you know, the rhythm section and just completely changed the feel of the entire song. So the lyrics and the melodies were still kind of from where it came from, but now you're putting it on top of this totally different feel. And that's how we ended up with the song the way it is. And there's a lot of excitement about it. It's a fun song. Like you said, I think people are digging it already.
100%. Now, along with Love You More, in August of 2023, the band released Jimmy Buffett Island inspired tune called Coconut Trees.
Yes. I've been saving up money in a cookie jar. Say goodbye, honey, au revoir to the gray sky blues. I've got 2 one-way tickets to paradise. Mix a little sun and rum on ice with an ocean breeze. It's just you and me, baby, in the coconut trees.
You wrote this song with Kyle Jacobs several years back, and then the band tracked it this past year.
Yes.
Can you talk about how that came together? And then to follow up, are these two songs, both Love You More and Coconut Trees, part of a larger project that the band is working on, or is the current focus singles right now?
So I'll answer the last question first. And the answer to that is yes. I don't know what it's going to look like or how it's going to end up all coming together. And to be really honest, there is talk about what you're talking about that I hear. I'm just not involved in the conversation very much, to be honest with you. So I think that is the ultimate goal, is to put these songs together on a record once we get there. We still have a vault of songs that we sift through and go in and record when we're ready. That song that I wrote with Kyle, who sadly passed away.
Yeah.
We lost a great guy in Kyle Jacobs. He was a heck of a human, incredibly talented singer, songwriter, producer, but just even a better human being. So that was a tough one. Me and Kyle and Lee Bryce would write a lot together, along with a guy named Billy Montana, who I co-wrote a lot of songs with. But this was during Kyle and I got together. There's a time period between like the end of October and the middle of March in Nashville where it's just gray. It doesn't snow all the time. But it's wet and it's cold and it's kind of stays that way for like a long time. It can be pretty depressing. And so we got together somewhere in the middle of that time period and we were like, man, let's ride our way out of this. Like, let you know what would feel good right now. We were talking about white sand beaches and blue water and coconut trees. And, you know, we went for it with that song. And as we were sifting through the vault, we found that song and we were like, man, there's something to this that I think our fans would gravitate towards. Would it have been better to put it out at the beginning of the summer? Maybe, but you know, things don't always work out that way. So we put the song out when we did and people have enjoyed it so far. And I think it will become one of those summer songs that people go back to once they start putting their baggies and their bikinis on and head to the beach. So I like the song. It's a lot of fun. We're heading off on the rock boat here soon, and I'm sure we'll be playing that song somewhere.
Well, to kick off side B, I'm going to do a 180.
All right.
From the Island Vibes and go with a song that I think is very important to the band's history, but also one that I truly love. And the song was originally featured on the 1999 soundtrack to the movie 10 Things I Hate About You. Song was written by Ken Block. Back on episode 44, I had the pleasure of speaking with Kay Hanley from Letters to Cleo, and she talked about the impact that being on soundtracks had for their music. Now, Your Winter, the song that I'm choosing, was on the 10 Things soundtrack before it was released on Fortress.
Yep.
So Long was featured in the movie Major League, Back to the Minors. We'll Find It was featured in The Wedding Planner. The earlier mentioned from side A, Change Your Mind, we talked about it being in Bedazzled. And yep. Your cover of the Bellamy Brothers' Let Your Love Flow was featured in Clay Pigeons. So
yes.
I'm kind of curious. First, I'd love to hear the story behind Your Winter. But on top of that, did soundtracks have an ROI for Sister Hazel the way that Kay said soundtracks truly helped Letters to Cleo make a name for themselves.
100%. 100%. And not only that, but there's a sense of pride when you look at the soundtracks that you're involved in and you see the other artists that are included. I know this is going to sound cheesy, but it makes you feel like, oh, I belong. Look who else is doing this. Like, man, I I'm right there. There's a sense of pride in seeing your name alongside a lot of other really talented artists that are listed on soundtracks. So that's something, as well as there are people that went and got the soundtrack because of something else that maybe never heard of the band. And by the time they get to our song, they go, oh, man, I got to check them out. Next thing you know, they're hopefully a hazelnut. That song, Ken wrote that song we were staying somewhere in Alabama, and he wrote that song sitting out by a pool. And we went back to Gainesville. I had a little house off of 23rd that I had a little recording rig with an ADAT machine and all that kind of stuff. And I was the only guy that had the rig at the time. And we went there and recorded that song at my house. And the right people heard the right song at the right time and asked us to be a part of the soundtrack. So that was a lot of fun for us. And to get to see that on the big screen, even though the small amount of the song that is in the movie is just Ken and acoustic guitar, I'm not bitter at all, but it's still a thrill. So that was a pretty special moment for us. And that soundtrack went gold. So that was kind of fun. I'm not sure where it is now, but I remember back when they sent us a gold record, I was like, oh, look at that. That's cool. So, yeah.
Well, following up your winter, what do you have for your first song on side B?
All right, I'm going with the song off of Bam, which is B-Sides and More. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the song that I wrote, and we actually, the recording of the song that you hear on that record was in a rehearsal space that we went in and maybe touched up a little guitar here, something there, but not much. It's pretty much a raw track from a rehearsal space when I brought the song in and played it for the guys, and we worked it up and played it, and we recorded the rehearsal that we were doing at the time. And that recording is pretty much what you hear on the record. And that song is a song called Can't Get You Off My Mind. It's track 13 off of Bam.
Nice. So that was actually a quote unquote live rehearsal version of this song.
Pretty much. Yes, it really is.
I did not know that. Well, I'm going to follow that up then with another song from Bam, because I actually, I really love this album. And it also comes with a little bit of a, if I'm going to say, it's not an actual gripe, but just a little one, because I had bought this song in 2007 on iTunes when it was the bonus track to the Absolutely album. And I'm going to go with Little Black Heart.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess my question is, because people don't remember this iTunes bonus track thing. There was a point when everybody was trying to pump everything into iTunes. Bands would release bonus tracks to iTunes, but not put them on the CD.
Right.
And this was one of them. So I was so thankful when Bam came out that I could finally get my hands on this song on CD as opposed to just the MP3. But I'm curious, this is a fantastic tune. And I was shocked it didn't make Absolutely initially. Did the band feel like it just musically was slightly a little different than the rest of the vibe on Absolutely?
You know, it's not always that, because a lot of times it could be that there was a song that already kind of filled that space. In fact, more times than not, the songs that you see surface later are songs that would have made albums all along the way, but there was a song or two that already kind of filled that space on the album. You don't want to have a record that's all Change Your Mind. You know what I mean? Right. Like you got to have a flow. We still are old school. We're still the kind of people that when you put a record in, you want to kind of go on a journey. And that's kind of how we've always felt. Now, obviously with the way that we're putting out songs now, it's not quite the same, but ultimately if we do put together a record, then we're going to sit down and make a set list so that if somebody does want to listen from top to bottom, it does take them. We don't want them to hear all the upbeat songs at the beginning of the record and then everything. So, you know, so we will do that. So a lot of times that's what happened. And that's what happened with that song, is that most of the time it was because that space was already occupied.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out into the universe. you're doing this exercise with me here tonight. Maybe we get the whole band to come on when you're about to release this album and we sit there and sequence it together because you've got all this experience now.
See? Yeah, that's a thought.
So what are you going to follow up Little Black Heart with?
All right, Little Black Heart. I think I'm going to go to... Oh, I know what I'll put on there. And forgive me for putting my songs, but they're the ones, you know, you're talking about me making the playlist. So some of them are going to be my songs. This is a song that the guys, we played this every night for I don't know how many years. And I finally got to the point where I was like, hey guys, I don't want to play that song tonight. And it got pushed off the set list. And now it fights its way back on every once in a while. But this is a song off of Fortress. And it's a song that I wrote called Strange Cup of Tea.
Why did you not want to play it? It's a great tune.
We did it literally every night. And granted, a lot of it was because I wanted to play it every night. But then it got to a thing where we just did it every night. And when we were touring a lot, I would literally find myself halfway through the song going, did I already sing this verse? Like, I can't, I needed to freshen things up. I just needed to freshen things up because and I'm not kidding. I would be like, man, I think I just sang this. Am I singing the wrong verse? So that's what happened with that.
Has that mindset changed on the song?
Yes. We've played occasionally now, but again, we've got a catalog of so many songs. Sometimes it finds its way on, sometimes not.
Well, following that up, I'm going to slow things down a lot here. And I am going to go back one more time to your co-writing with Stan Lynch.
Yeah.
And in 2006, the band released arguably what I think is one of the band's most beautiful ballads, This Kind of Love. It's just an absolutely gorgeous song that makes the hairs on my arm stand up when I listen to it. Now, there's a full band version of the song that was released as a standalone single. And then you've got the quieter piano, laid back, stripped version on Absolutely. My question to you is, as the writer of that song with Stan Lynch, is there a version that you prefer? Because that's the version I will include on this mixtape, because I think they're both amazing. I can go with either one.
So here's what I would tell you. If you can find a live version later when Dave LeGrand became a member of the band for, you know, I don't know if you know of Dave, but Dave was in the band for about, actually, you know what? He was never really in the band, although he was. He just never really wanted to claim that. Not that he didn't want to. He just never claimed that he was. You know, he's always the side guy. But anyway, you find a live version of This Kind of Love with Dave LeGrand playing the saxophone. That's the version that I would put in the mixtape. I prefer the broken down version. Every time that we tried to go full band with it, we couldn't get out of the 80s rock ballad land. And so the acoustic piano version is always my favorite. But the versions with Dave playing the saxophone are my favorite by far.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll put the piano version on the mixtape, and then I will find that live version somewhere on this internet and embed it on the episode page.
I guarantee you that there is out there, because that was... When Dave would come out with the sax solo, it was honestly a moment of our live show. He would come out and the crowd loved the sax. And I kind of was always like, wait a minute, it's my song. I wrote this. And just because he's playing a saxophone. No, it was cool. It was always good. All right. So I'm following This Kind of Love.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go to, you know what? I'm going to put Coconut Trees on the mixtape.
All right.
Little lighthearted. Feels good. Steel drums, a little diversion from Sister Hazel's normal kind of stuff. And I like that. Throw that in there.
Yeah. And it comes out of the really slow moment of This Kind of Love. Then you get people up and you get that kind of groove going.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know what I'm going to follow that up with then.
All right.
And I'm going to go back to 2018's Water as well as 2020's Elements. Okay. And I'm going to go with a track that was written by you, Ken, and Michael Logan. And the track is Roll On By.
Bye.
When I first heard this song, the first thing I turned to my wife and said is, this is why I love this band. The vocal harmonies in this song are absolutely friggin' perfect.
So much fun.
Now, I'm going to ask a question here, and I hate being this guy, so I sincerely apologize for this. And please tell me to take a long walk off a short pier if I mess this up. But look, the band has covered the Eagles in the past with yes. Peaceful, Easy Feeling. I've always felt like Roll On By was Sister Hazel's hat tip to the Eagles.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not wrong with this.
No, you are not wrong with that. In fact, as we were playing the chorus to that song, it felt, and I was proud of the fact that it felt so Eagles-y. I was like, yes, that's exactly how I want this to sound. So yeah, 100%, huge influence. So yes, I'm proud to say, in fact, I wish it was even close. I wish they would even call me and go, hey, we're going to sue you because that sounds too much like us. I'm like, awesome. That's the best thing that happened to me.
Wait, yes. So we get to be in court together? So when you sign these documents to get me, I could get a copy as like an autograph?
That's awesome.
All right. Well, we've got 3 songs left for side B, 2 of which are yours. So okay. What are you going to follow Roll On By with?
You know, man, I want to go with something a little harder, a little more rocking. I'm going to go with Shame.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Shame. We have had a ton of fun playing that song live for a long time. And that's one of those rockers. And I love the groove to that song. And I think that as we're winding up here on side B, we'll hit that, and then we got 2 more to close out. So what are you going to hit? We got Shame, which is a rocker, and you're going to come behind that with...
First, I want to just say, you totally scooped me on Shame. I had it in my bank of songs. People that listen to this show often know I'm a sucker for album opening tracks, and that one just hits the nail right on the head. I love it.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
But I think to follow it up, I'm going to go with a song that... Well, we've talked about pretty much every single Sister Hazel album, except for one, if I'm looking at my notes correctly, and that is Chasing Daylight. Uh-huh. Now, as much as I'm a sucker for album openers, we've used a few tonight, and I love the song Your Mistake, which Patreon mixtaper David Owens chimed in with saying that's the song he immediately goes to because he spun that CD quite often on his bus trips home during college. But we've used a couple of album openers tonight. So while I love the pick, David, I think I'm going to go with something a little bit different. And I think coming out of Shame, this is a song that the band has tend to lean towards in the latter half of the set list. Although there's been a couple of times I've seen it pop up early, so I might be off here. But regardless of set list placement, it's an infectious sing-along that gets people up and moving no matter when it's played. So I am going to go with Swan Dive to follow up Shame. And my only question for you is, how the hell was this not a single? This song is so amazing.
And people, that's one of those songs, if we don't play that song, we hear about it. And that's what gets hard, man. And I'm so thankful that we have such loyal fans, but you have people that are like, look, man, in fact, Ken and I just did an acoustic show last night, and I didn't play This Kind of Love. And we didn't play Champagne High. And literally, some people were pretty upset. Enough so that they came up and we went, okay, wait. And we made them turn the PA back on and we played both those songs. Because we were like, you're right. We can't leave here without playing those songs. So, yeah, that's a good one. So, I'm thankful for that song. It's a lot of fun. Okay, I'm gonna throw you a total curveball for the last song on side B.
All right. I'm all here for it.
Because I think that a lot of people would want to stay up for the last song. I'm going to throw you a song that I wrote with. I remember I mentioned Jack Sizemore and Britton Cameron. I wrote the song with Britton Cameron. And this is another song off of, and this is funny that we don't play any songs off release, but this is another song off release. But I'm going to go with One Life.
Yes. Okay.
Off of release. And if you and for anybody that's familiar with that song, they know that at the end of the song, it really kind of tails off. So to finish our playlist, our mixtape, it'll be something that just kind of takes you off into the sunset.
Well, if you haven't figured it out, Release is one of my favorite albums from the band. And like I said, I've been pushing for maybe this is the the jumping off point that Release starts seeing more love in the set lists, because we've made a good case for it.
It could be, because as I'm looking through it, I'm going, why don't we play that? Like, we need to play that again. Like, we did. There's so many songs on here that we need to be playing. So, yeah, that could definitely happen.
Well, there you have it, folks. Side B of our ultimate Sister Hazel playlist, which kicked off with Your Winter from the 10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack, as well as Fortress. A back-to-back from BAM Volume 1 of Can't Get You Off My Mind and Little Black Heart. Strange Cup of Tea from Fortress. This Kind of Love from Absolutely. The new single Coconut Trees. Roll On By from Water, as well as Elements. Shame from Absolutely. Swan Dive from Chasing Daylight. And One Life from Release. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Now, Drew, what can the Hazelnuts look forward to throughout the rest of 2024 from the band?
Well, we're going to continue to put out songs. We've already got Love You More. We're going to follow that up and continue to introduce that to our fans. And we already have another one loaded, locked and loaded, ready to go. So there'll be another song following that up, and hopefully several more throughout the year as we continue to put these songs out.
Well, Drew, this has been an absolute honor. Thank you so much for joining me on My Weekly Mixtape.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
And remember, mixtapers, you can find My Weekly Mixtape on almost all the social media haunts at My Weekly Mixtape. You can also head to myweeklymixtape.com to check out the full catalog of My Weekly Mixtape episodes. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. That's all for this week. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, enjoy the tunes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.